Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Mr. Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is for Friday, June 2nd, 2023. Hi, Butch.
Hi, Melody. How you day this program in June already?
We had a beautiful day here on the Eastern Shore. We're finally getting into the low 70s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And it's 90 degrees here. I know that's, what can I say? That's the first time we broke 90 this year, though. So.
Well, you had 90?
We got 90 today. Right now it's 90 even.
Wow.
Yep.
It's not coming my way.
Well, I'd send you some if I could.
Yeah.
Indeed, I would.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So, I guess you want me to do the market report?
Well, I figure that's why they pay the big bucks.
Is that why we're here? It's Friday.
I believe it's why we're here. Now, people don't know about the weather in West Virginia and in Maryland, of course. That's what they're here
okay,
for.
Okay, yeah, I know how important that is. I got a little distracted there. I was looking at... Anyway... Gold today down $30, $29,1949. Silver was down 27 cents at $23.70. Platinum was down 4 at $1,012. Palladium was up 24, $1,454. The USDX was up 49 at 104.04. Even crude oil was up $1.88 at $71.98. And hold on to your seats or your hats or whatever you want to hold on to. We have the stock market, the Dow. Hey, 700 points.
Woo.
Woo-hoo. On a great jobs report. Yeah, how about that? 700 points, 33,762. That's a little over 2%. The S&P was up almost 1.5%. Up 61 points, and the NASDAQ was up just a little over 1%, 139 points. Asia was all in green territory. The Nikkei was up the most, about 1.25%. The Hang Seng, that is the Hang Seng. That was up 700 points. Up on there is 4%. That's huge. Europe. The winner in Europe have to be between the big three. France. was up 1.87%, but they were all, you know, Germany was up 1.25, FTSE was up 1.56, and France was up 1.87. 10-year yield, 3.69%, that was up. All the oils were up. Natural gas was up a little over 1% at 2.18. And so mainly, oil price jumped 2% after the U.S. debt deal and jobs data. And so the, let me see if I can pull this up. We all know that the U.S. Senate approved the bipartisan deal to suspend. I don't think that's getting enough attention. It's not extending, it's suspending. And it will never, ever have a number, an end to it again. I don't think it, you know, they may as well just quit the debt. If they're going to suspend it now, they're not going to reapply it back in 2025. So, because everybody will have forgotten that it's suspended and it'll just go on. And so write that down, Butch, so we can go back to this date and mark my words, they'll never reinstate it. They're suspending the limit. So,
well, do we have do we have to still limit our own spending though, or can we do that too?
What?
Do we have to limit our own spending? Yeah, can we not spend all we want to then, like they are, and not worry about it?
I know. You could say, well, my government's doing it. Why can't I?
Sure. The old saying, "What's good for the goose is good for the gander." So why not? Yeah, come on now, give us a break. Let us go ahead and print our own money.
Yeah. And what they're also saying is with the U.S. unemployment increase more than expected in May, but a moderation in wages. That's a happy thing for everybody. So, you know, it's just, it's a good thing that people's wages aren't going up to meet inflation. That means the Federal Reserve might be able to skip an interest rate hike this month for the first time in more than a year. So, hey, isn't it great that the American people out there, wages aren't keeping track? Isn't that great?
I think it's wonderful. Of course, of the 339,000 job increase, according to what I read, I didn't have time to get in detail on it. Not very many of them went to American-born workers. They went to foreign-born workers. I didn't get into the reason why. But it didn't help a lot of Americans who were born here with this big increase. Now, folks, I'm making it up. Look it up for yourself. Most new jobs went to foreign-born workers. As I mean, illegals, I have no idea. I don't know. I didn't have a chance to read it all. That's what the headline said, Melody.
Well, that probably accounts for those that they bring in for summer jobs and so forth. I don't know if that's, you know, I don't know if that is actually applied in this report or not. I don't know.
Well, they said that they didn't. That was not counting. That was not counting. That was all non-farm payrolls, according to what they said. Most times you bring in workers who work on farms or whatever. So when they said this is all non-farm jobs, but the steel was given to mostly non-American born workers.
We have professional and business services with 64,000. Government helped boost the numbers with an addition of 56,000 jobs. Here you have a government that's supposed to can't pay their bills, but yet they're adding 56,000 jobs. Healthcare contributed to 52,000. Leisure and hospitality, 48,000. Construction, 25,000. Transportation and warehousing, 24,000. Let's see if there's anything else interesting in there. The job rate went up. I think it went to 3.7%. I guess that's about it that I would say all about that. But hey, if you believe it, I got some property down in, I got some swampland. Oh, not swampland. I got a bridge that you can buy. You know,
I don't know. And I mean, I appreciate that people do have to have jobs. Government has to hire some people. I mean, that's a given. They got to have some people working. But I never count that really as someone who's, that's not an independent worker, contractor, independent business hiring people. Those are people that are being paid off the tax base. Of course, they pay tax themselves, but they don't pay enough tax.
And they do buy things, so they are part of the economy.
That's true. But they don't pay enough of their own taxes, pay their own wages, obviously. So That really shouldn't count as a jobs indicator. The government is a parasite. I'm not saying the workers aren't necessary, but they don't pay the workers. We pay the workers. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely.
So we shouldn't count those as jobs in it per se, as participation considered as anything private enterprise. That those are not jobs created out of necessity for production or anything else. It's to run the government, more bureaucracy. So I don't consider that really a boost in anything.
Agreed, but I also know that those numbers are just blown way out of proportion. So, but anyway, it is what it is, and we had a great day in the stock market, 700 points, a little bit of a pullback in gold, so keep adding to your portfolio. This isn't done because they just cleared the, you know, just because they, you know, cleared the debt ceiling, and I mean, it's just such a joke, but hey, what can I say? You know. Here, I don't think you have this on your report, but I think this is interesting. There's a group of former followers. I think everybody knows who Dave Ramsey is.
News broadcaster.
Huh?
Isn't he a news broadcaster?
Yeah, he does finances.
Yeah.
But a group of followers of his have sued him. He's a radio host, along with his company and a marketing firm, for endorsing a failed timeshare exit company that allegedly defrauded customers out of millions. 17 former Ramsey listeners filed a class action lawsuit in the U.S. District Court for Western Washington, alleging Ramsey was paid as much as $30 million from 2015 to 2021 to endorse timeshare exit team, a Kirkland, Washington-based firm that collected $200 million from clients, many of them Ramsey listeners, in exchange for a promise to free them from their timeshare obligations. The company, which often collected more than $5,000 per customer, failed to live up to its promises. And Reed Hine and Associates, LLC, which did business as Timeshare's exit team, paid $2.61 million to settle a deceptive business practice lawsuit that was filed by an attorney general of Washington State and then later went out of business. So, you know, the reason I'm bringing this up is, you know, there's so much stuff out there, and these big-time radio hosts support these programs and stuff. You know, just be careful out there. You know, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And you can really get caught up in these schemes because you can, you know, it's, you know, it's people lose a lot of money.
That's true.
A lot of money. I remember there used to be, I know people who lost their homes. There used to be a program going around where you could pay $5,000 and, you know, do things to get out of it. And it works for a few, but it doesn't work for many. And a lot of people go into debt. They get behind on that. Yeah, so, you know, be careful out there. And that's why I brought this, but that's a lot, and I know a lot of people followed Dave Ramsey. So, anyway, there you
and
have it.
I'll share something I think is some good news, Melody. You know how you and I both detest property taxes, right?
Yes.
Well, Supreme Court ruled on our side in this one case. Supreme Court, now mind you, sides with grandmother who lost home equity because of back taxes. Supreme Court on Thursday unanimously upsided. Now listen, unanimously sided. I can't believe that. With 94-year-old grandmother who lost her home to foreclosure and then lost the equity she had in the property when the county sold it and kept the profit. The Minnesota County sold Geraldine Tyler's condo for $40,000. Instead of returning the $25,000 difference between the sales price and what she owed in back taxes, the county pocketed the balance and used the extra money for forest development, county parks, and recreation programs. A unanimous opinion handed down less than a month after the justices heard arguments, Chief Justice John Roberts held out that Tyler had a plausible case that the county violated the Constitution's taking clause. How about that? Allude or touch of common sense in this country, finally. They took our property for back taxes. With the interest and everything that accrued on, too, was there was a chunk of money, about $25,000, I said. But they sold for $40,000 and kept the rest. The Supreme Court said they owed it to her. They could not take more than what was their fair share in taxes. They said they didn't say the taxes shouldn't be paid, and they maybe couldn't took the home, but they couldn't keep the profit. Okay, that's as much as I hate taxes, I'll say that's a pretty fair decision on that. What do you think, Melody?
Sure.
I mean,
good decision.
I was tickled to hear that. I was tickled to hear that. One time, thank God, a little person who couldn't pay taxes didn't lose everything. I think that's beautiful. If they took over taxes and they sold $40,000 and kept out enough to pay taxes, I still don't agree with that. But at least it's somewhat fairer than taking everything they got out of the property. That's a quick profit for the county, is it not?
It is.
Mm-hmm. So that's some common sense. That's some common sense news and good news for a change, Melody. Anything you want to add to it?
No, sir.
So I just had to share that. I thought that was great. I think I have time for this before the break. Everything, folks, is going woke. I mean, right down now to the states and the counties. New York City's Banking Commission amid insolvency fears. Listen to this. After Democrats under then-President Barack Obama rammed through a massive new regulatory regime for the banking industry following the 2008 Great Recession, Americans were told that bank collapses were a thing of the past. Right. We needn't worry more, Democrats said, because brand new unaccountable agencies like the Consumer Finance Protection Board were going to make sure that depositors were safe, their assets protected, and the bad guys who ran shoddy banks dealt with. But here we are, a mere 15 or so years later, and the same thing is happening again with banks, one collapse and insolvency after another, though taxpayers have spent billions of dollars propping up new federal agencies and plastering laws on the books that no one can obviously follow because we already had a series of bank failures in recent months. And if that's not bad enough, then we have the woke nanny state moving in to attack healthy banks with nonsensical requirements that do nothing to enhance their performance and protect depositors. On Thursday, for instance, New York City's Banking Commission took action against Capital One and KeyBank, major banking institutions, for failing to submit anti-discrimination plans to the city. New York City Comptroller Brad Lander announced in a press release that the commission voted to freeze New York City's deposits at both banks. The headline was a wobbly one, given the recent banking system chaos, but the detail is also New York. The freezing of debt deposits is unrelated to the financial stability of the banks involved, but rather pertains to the failure to comply with New York City requirement mandating the submission of anti-discrimination plans. Consequently, Capital One and KeyBank will no longer receive any further deposits from the city. In addition, three other banks, International Finance Bank, PNC Bank, and Wells Fargo, were also denied the designation of it as eligible institutions to hold the city's funds due to noncompliance with the same requirement. Melody, what do you think about that? They didn't go politically correct, and they lost business with the city. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, very much. Well, I mean, you have all these corporations and so forth. They have to follow what the DEI and, you know, to bring this into their corporate playhouse and so forth. So,
but that had nothing to do with insolvency, bank being run shoddy or anything dishonest or crooked. It had to do that you don't think like we do, so therefore we're not going to do business with you.
Yeah.
That is just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And I think this is really an important. You're talking about banks. I don't think anybody really knows about this. I'm reading the Pam Martins and Russ Martins article for today about last week on Tuesday, May 23rd, the Federal Reserve and California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation hit the collapsed federally insured bank Silvergate Bank and its parent, Silvergate Capital Corporation, with an enforcement action called a cease and desist consent order. This action was not announced to the public until yesterday. So it's a big deal. If it would have been reported and it's still not getting the information and the attention that it deserves. And but this is how your government, your Federal Reserve, and everything else keeps all the bad news out, so people can't react. So
and just wait till we go digital all the way.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I hear the music. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit Discount Gold and Our Posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. 1-800-375-4188 for Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Give us a call and visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Butch?
Yes, ma'am. And we're going to share some news now that it's heartbreaking to see it happen in our country and anywhere. These stories here mostly are out of bigger cities, but it's going to happen a lot of places, folks, if things crumble in our society. As morality disappears, and there's no solid footing to build anything on as far as morals go, everything collapses. You know, I was listening to a program the other day, and the guy really made sense. He said, we hear today of values, American values, values from business values, whatever it may be. We hear the word values. But we never hear the word virtues. The difference being virtues are consistent. They don't change. They're based on God's word. Values are based on what men think is right and wrong. Our values can change from day to day. And in a nation's life, that's basically what happens. Values or what we think is right and wrong, is very, if it's based on our thoughts, our humanistic ideals, they're going to change and change rapidly. Well, we're seeing that happen in America, Melody. values have changed a lot in my lifetime. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
So virtue never changed. And I'll just give you an idea. Virginity, when I grew up, was an expected thing of young girls and boys. Today, it's no big deal. You can keep it or you can lose it. It depends on what you think is right and wrong. So your values have changed. It didn't happen overnight necessarily. It took a lot of time and effort by the enemy to do this through many, many sources. And one of the main sources have been the public school system. But through entertainment and much, much more. And lukewarm, mamby-pamby churches and pastors are a big part of it also. So values have changed now. The business are in a hard time keeping their head above water. Not because business is slow, because of being robbed blind. I can only imagine what my daddy would have done if he thought he caught me stealing something in the store. I'd probably still be sitting down doing this program right now. It wasn't tolerated. Now in California, unless you steal over $1,000, the cops don't even investigate it. So you go in and steal a TV set, costs $9,999, you walk out of there scot-free. But we don't. We still pay for it. The consumers pay for it. But Old Navy is the latest chain store chased out of San Francisco's downtown. It says we were hit 22 times by thieves in 2 days. 11 times a day they dealt with thievery. Well, over the Memorial Day weekend, Old Navy announced they will be leaving their Market Street location on July 1st, becoming the latest retail chain store to leave the city's downtown in recent months. For several years, large chains and small businesses have been leaving San Francisco, either closing permanently or relocating operations outside the city and state. In the case of the small businesses, some have left the area entirely, moving out of state or to other regions in the state. For the last few years, for example, Walgreens has closed more and more stores in the city due to the massive amount of crime within its stores. Higher-end stores have also cited break-ins and crime as major reasons for leaving. And just within the last 2 months, all Amazon Go stores, Anthropologie, several high-end Union Square stores, and the flagship Whole Foods store have all announced that their doors will be closing along with multiple non-chain stores throughout the city. Early this month, both Nordstrom and Saks Fifth announced these closure of three main locations in the city, along with T-Mobile and Williams-Sonoma also announced these closures. Not because of lack of business, folks, because of thievery. Any comments on that, Melody, so far?
No, and I'm going to go back to the old word accountability. No one is held accountable for anything. So if no one is held accountable for anything, then, hey, everything goes. And they're all in protected areas. I mean, it's just we basically live in a nation anymore that everything goes. And it's do what you want if it feels good. And we've been like that. I can remember just beginning to talk about where, hey, people were behaving and acting like, you know, do what you want when you want and go for it. And it's this is what we're experiencing, the outcome of it.
What was that old song? If it feels good, do it. If it don't, just let it lie. Remember that song?
Oh, no.
Well, I do. If it feels good, do it. If it don't, just let it lie. So whatever feels good to you, don't worry about it. I mean, we got to get on with the articles. I know that. But people who are left-leaning and totally non-Christian in mind and thinking and actions will agree that thou shalt not murder is a good commandment. But to prove that your reasoning is flawed, they changed it already. Thou shalt not murder unless you're an unborn child. Then you can be murdered. Thou shalt not murder unless thou be an older person your life's not worth living, so we will euthanize you. So those values changed. Thou shalt not murder is a commandment of God that one time flew in this country and was honored. Today we say it's honored, but it's honored only on what we think is right and wrong. That's called humanistic religion, folks. By the way, the Supreme Court ruled many years ago that humanism is a religion, but it's allowed to be practiced in schools, in all facilities. So just think about that. Talking about thievery, though, Walgreens debuts new anti-theft store with just two aisles of touchable product, and customers hate it. Walgreens has unveiled new anti-theft measures at a redesigned store, and there's only 2 aisles of products that customers are allowed to touch. Some shoppers in Chicago, Illinois, aren't too sure about the new kiosk technology rolled out at the downtown Walgreens. Walgreens redesigned the store in Chicago, Illinois. I wonder why, Melody. Chicago is not a place, a haven for crime and murder, is it? It's a gun-free zone. It can't be. They can't have guns there. So they know, you know, there's no shootings there because guns aren't allowed there, Melody. Gee, what's wrong, people? I don't understand it. I mean, how can they have murders there with the gun murders when guns are just simply allowed there? Matter of fact, I'll read this and move on. A rock in bad hands killed Abel, Melody. A rock in good hands killed Goliath. It's not about the rock. Any comments on that?
Nope.
Pretty well says it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Executives at the company made significant changes to prevent thefts that have been on the rise in grocery stores around the United States since last year. However, earlier this year, during an earnings call with Walgreens investors, the company's chief financial officer, James Kehoe, noted that they may have been a bit dramatic. Maybe we cried too much last year, he said. Either way, it's too late for Windy City residents as a redesigned Walgreens with considerable anti-theft measures open this week. Customers will now be unable to shop for themselves, save two small aisles of essentials, according to CWB. The new outlet shared a photo of a digital kiosk where customers choose items they would like to buy. Shoppers then pick up their products at a checkout counter after the employee retrieves the shopping haul. Walgreens issued a statement about the changes to customers who feared the store was closed for good. This redesigned store will have the latest in e-commerce offerings to increase customer service, mitigate theft, and increase safety for our customers and employees, the retailer wrote in an email per CWB. The pharmacy at the Chicago's location also has a kiosk system. Two employees monitor the essential section where you can shop for yourself. So they have two people watching the sections that are not under lock and key. So they catch you trying to steal it. Mel, I can remember as a young boy, and I know I'm not old you are. I mean, you're 39 going on 40 now.
I can
remember that you went to the store and you gave them a list, and they went to the shelves and got what you wanted. You remember doing that at any time?
I do. My mother used to always send me to the corner store with a list.
There you go. This is basically the same thing now, but not because of theft in the old days. Theft today has gotten so bad, though. You go up there and you get on a computer, punch in what you want, and then they go get it for you. In my mind, that's good service to have somebody do that, but it has to be done for the wrong reason. That's the bad part of it. And unfortunately, Walgreens not by themselves. Walmart raises anti-theft measures to highest shoppers have ever seen. As customer rage, it doesn't make sense. Well, it does make sense. It's inconvenient. It's really a sad thing you have to go through. You waste time waiting for help sometimes. But we brought it on ourselves because we tolerated this thievery. I said we, not necessarily you and I, but as a nation. In a place like California, example, unless you do more than $1,000, they don't even come after you. To me, Mel, that's tolerating a lot of thievery. What do you think?
Yeah, now you have so many of those towns in California that's giving them the free money every month. I just saw where there was one that people are going to be getting $1,000. So you can steal $1,000 and then get another $1,000.
And get $1,000.
That's $2,000 a month that you're
that's
getting.
That's 24 grand a year. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's
for
not
free.
I'm moving.
Folks, our nation's falling apart simply because we tolerate it. I said we, not you, we. Walmart customers have been forced to leave their stores after waiting in long queries amid a new safety feature to reduce theft. My. Organized crime has been plaguing retailers in recent years, causing leaders to crack down on incidents of theft. Walmart has publicly acknowledged higher levels of theft in recent times. In a conversation with CNBC, Walmart CEO Doug McMillon threatened that stores could close and prices could continue to rise if the issue wasn't addressed. Yes, folks, they will close, and they raise prices to make up the difference. So you and I, again, pay for it. It's higher than what it has been historically, being the CEO revealed. However, one Walmart customer has claimed that the latest anti-theft device is the biggest increase in in security that the retailer has taken so far. I went to Walmart the other day that had taken their loss prevention things to such a higher level than I've ever seen. Funk, this guy's name, explained that he was trying to purchase a battery for $4, but it was locked up in a case. There are call buttons on the cases to notify an employee when a key that a customer wants to access one of the heavily protected products. So you punch a button. It's like, you punch a button for service, and then somebody's got a key. You'll come next to get what you want out of the case. Yeah, that could take a lot of time, folks. A TikToker said he waited for 10 minutes, and no one came, so he decided to leave. He added that the situation was the same in other sealed-off areas, such as a cosmetics section. All these places have been shrinking their workforces, and they don't have enough employees to handle this. He added, right next to us in the makeup section, there was like a line of people just trying to get something unlocked from their makeup aisle. The one poor associate in that area didn't have a key and also didn't know who had a key. Wow, double whammy. Not only are you going to pay more for what you get, but if you don't have to make out a key, you can't get anyway. Melody Cedarstrom. This is quite a conundrum. How's that for a big word from old hillbilly?
Well, the whole world is just going insane. And that's what we're experiencing. And that's what we're seeing. It is insane. Things are just getting so crazy. And it's kind of interesting to some degree, but yet scary as we see this all unfold.
Well, we know that this phenomena is nothing new, obviously, but it's really picked up a lot of steam. What, in the last 5 or 10 years, would you say?
I don't know. It's been picking up for a long time. I don't know why. It just seems, I think, and probably since the since COVID, from 2019, the end of 2019. And I think it has a lot to do with financial, but really that's, I think we're seeing, but I can't remember, just a lot of this happened after that and during that time. So
yes, it did. Yes, mm-hmm. It did. And this is a recession alert. Record numbers of Americans worse off financially. I think that's a very huge understatement. 2 years ago, we referenced various reports about American savings, consumer and retirement, reporting that they had dropped to the lowest point in years. Unfortunately, things haven't improved much since then. We just discussed the state of consumer debt, and it isn't very good at all, reaching a record $17 trillion. $17 trillion, half the debt we're in debt in this country, they admit to. Since the economy is primarily driven by consumer spending, let me repeat that, the economy is primarily driven by consumer spending. 68% of folks' GDP is consumer, not production. Mm-hmm. If American households are tapped out and buried in debt, the stage is set for an economic disaster. So today we're going to explore the current state of a typical American household's finances and exfoliate the future consequences for the entire economy. A recent report published by the Federal Reserve examined the economic well-being of households in 2022. Unfortunately, households aren't doing very well at all, according to the information in the 85-page report. I won't bore you with this entire thing. Instead, we'll take a look at the main culprits right from the report summary. These results indicate a decline in people's financial well-being over the previous year. But you already know this. I truly appreciate that my readers are mostly well-informed, financially savvy individuals who are well aware of the importance of expecting the unexpected. Who wouldn't need to call up a bachelor uncle and beg for a loan to cover a trip to the ER or having the brake pads replaced? For most people, ever since the stimmy checks dried up, they lost their resilience to handle even a minor financial emergency. Specifically, here's two of them. One of every three adults can't cover a $400 emergency bill. Barely half Americans have 3 months of emergency savings. And that sounds like, 3 months, that's a lot. Folks, not in a time of recession, it's not. And you can't even cover a $400 emergency bill. That is on the edge, Melody. That is on the edge. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that just breaks my heart to read these kind of things. But because it's people around us. These are not people that are idle necessarily and doing things they shouldn't be doing. These are people just struggling to keep food on the table. They're not even politicians who rob us blind and get by with it. Mostly people trying to do what's right and just take care of the family. But they basically can't do it any longer. That's really a sad comment. Go ahead, Mel.
Yeah, and it is sad because we're heading into our next break. So we will be returning, so I hope you all stay with us.
Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand. Take it easy.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. I'm glad you stayed with us. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. What do you have next, Butch? Finish us out of this third segment for a Friday.
All right. I'll do my best. I think people listen to this program, they'll just see what kind of trouble we'll get into next. I really do.
Is that it?
I think it
then
is.
Then I can go home? Then I can quit and go home?
Then we can talk about you.
Yeah. You like that, huh?
Oh, gosh. Anyway, U.S. food production is taking a very dangerous turn into the wrong direction. Now, these are for real stories, folks, and it's not pleasant, but it is what it is. If farmers and ranchers don't produce enough food, we don't eat. So we should always be thankful for our hardworking farmers and ranchers. Unfortunately, farms and ranchers all over the United States have been hit by a string of disasters in recent months, and as a result, food production has taken a turn for the worse. So does that mean that we should expect that there will soon be shortages of certain items? Unfortunately, it appears that is likely to be the case. For example, it's been reported that approximately 90%, now listen to this, Melody, 90%, 90% of Georgia's peach crop for this year has been destroyed. Comments on that before going?
Wow. Nope.
90%. Now, but not only does that mean we won't have peaches from Georgia, what's that do to the farmers that raise them? Summer is around the corner, and in Georgia, summer means peaches. But horticulturists and at the University of Georgia say roughly 90% of the peach crops, state's crop, has been destroyed by bad weather and warmer climate. The last time things were this bad was 1955. And he said, I really love good peach, but if you want to sink your teeth into some fresh peaches in the months ahead, they won't be coming from Georgia. Wow. But if you want to sink your teeth in some, so don't count on sinking your teeth into peach from the peach state anytime soon. Not Georgia peaches, Pearson said. I don't think you'll see Georgia peaches in the grocery store. Perhaps you're thinking that we was just eat more oranges instead. Unfortunately, it's been predicted that a combination of factors will cause Florida's orange harvest to be 56% smaller than last year. Florida's citrus industry posted its worst harvest since 1937. Melody, what do you think about that? But we've taken so much for granted in this country for so long. Now we're seeing things. 90% of the peaches are being destroyed in Georgia.
We don't need the peaches from Georgia. We can import them from somewhere else. I mean,
there you
what?
Go. And same thing with the oranges in Florida. Yeah. There we go. So, yeah. Folks, this is what we're seeing. This, of course, means higher prices in the market, obviously. Scarcity, yes, but higher price when you do find them.
And it's not even the higher prices. I'll tell you, because when we import all this stuff, there's no regulations on what they use to treat their crops and so forth.
No,
half of the stuff comes in, and it's not. They pick it before it's ripe, so it makes the trip. Then they jolt it with stuff so the color comes in. I mean, that's real healthy for us, isn't it?
When you think you're buying healthy in the store, a lot of times you're being deceived.
Absolutely.
Even in so-called Whole Foods department. This is interesting. I watched a video on this. It's interesting. It looks like a little square box going down the sidewalk, dodging people and delivering food. Uber Eats food delivery robots set to enter use in multiple U.S. cities. I wonder how long before somebody robs them. But anyway, for the past year, Uber-backed Serve Robotics wheeled robots have been delivering takeout food and groceries to customers in the L.A. area. The company has now announced that up to 2,000 of its bots are set to enter use with Uber Eats in other North American cities. According to Serve Robotics, over 200 restaurants are now participating in the L.A. pilot project. Additionally, in both L.A. and the company's home city of San Francisco, the autonomous sidewalk-going robots have completed tens of thousands of contactless deliveries since Serve's foundation in 2017. And the just-announced expansion plans call for as many as 2,000 of the bots to be utilized by Uber Eats in multiple other American cities and Canadian cities. Serve is currently working with industry partners and municipal authorities in various locations, although we've been told that a short list of the possible cities include San Jose, Vancouver, and Dallas. Each four-wheeled vehicle robot is reportedly able to operate for a full day on one charge of its battery pack, carrying up to 50 pounds of cargo at a top speed of 7 miles per hour. Its cargo compartment can only be unlocked by its corporate client or the customer who placed the order, the latter utilizing an app. And notably, all of the robots are capable of Level 4 autonomous driving. Level 4 is when no human attention is required in predefined areas, Serve Robotics co-founder CEO Ali Khashoggi told us. This is achieved using a host of advanced AI capabilities to help a robot navigate cities. AI helps robots detect when the surfaces are to navigate on, find the route that's fastest and also safest, detect and identify people in cars, and even identify risk of collision with cars when drivers are inattentive at intersections. Gee whiz. The expansion is planned to take place mainly in 2024, although the first new market could begin using the robots as soon as the fourth quarter of this year. Wow, Melody. There you go. It's placed an order, and they put it in a little robotic box and send it to you. How's that for handy?
Isn't that terrific?
I mean, you know, that does away with a lot of drivers, because drivers got to be paid. They get sick days of vacation. These robots don't care. Gee. Arizona announces limits on construction in Phoenix areas as groundwater disappears. It makes me wonder about this. I assume that this is some kind of cover-up. They are in our water. But nonetheless, Arizona officials announced Thursday the state will no longer grant certifications for new developments within the Phoenix area as groundwater rapidly disappears in years of water overuse and climate change-driven drought. So, Melody, you're not going to move the Phoenix and buy a building thing new. I'm not going to go through the whole story, but Katie Hobbs and the state's top water officials outlined the results of the study looking at groundwater demand within Phoenix metro area, which is regulated by a state law that tries to ensure Arizona's housing developments, businesses, and farms are not using more groundwater than is being replaced. So in Phoenix, Arizona, new building certificates are not going to be granted. What do you think about that, Mel?
Well, I mean, they do have a water problem. And, you know, that is desert. And you have Arizona, you have California. They're all fighting over the water coming out of the Colorado River. And so, yeah, it's a big problem. So it's interesting, though, to think that, you know, you're stopping, you know, building, preventing people.
Yep.
Growth of people. It's kind of interesting.
Well, I have an answer to that. Why not build sustainable communities? 15-minute community, Melody. Don't let them build
out. There you go.
Let them build up.
Yeah.
Build apartment buildings.
But it isn't that. It's the water. They don't have the water. It doesn't matter how many buildings. They can't supply water for the – well, you build out – you know, then you need water for irrigation. You need water for, you know, everything else. Although most of your yards in Arizona, they're not grass, they're rock. But you have a lot of swimming pools.
So just let them live in a sustainable community. Let them all share one or two pools and 15-minute drive. You can't drive for them 15 minutes. Everything you need right there. This builds sustainable communities. What an idea. That would save all this, a lot of this anyway.
There you go.
Of course, that's not part of the plan. I know that. That's just my imagination going wild. India's imports of Russian oil hit a record high. India's oil imports from Russia continue to surge as cheaper Russian crude exports find more and more buyers in the world's third largest crude oil importer. India shattered its previous records of imports of Russia crude and took in May 1.96 million barrels per day of crude from Russia, an all-time high according to data from Energy Cargo Tracker for Texas. India's Russian oil imports, along with higher than 1.74 million barrels in India combined efforts imports from the next four largest suppliers, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and United States and United Arab Emirates. So she's importing more oil from Russia than the other four combined. Russia's oil accounting for a massive 42% of all Indian crude imports compared to negligible volumes Indian had reported from Russia before the Russia invasion of Ukraine. A year since the war began, India has turned from a marginal buyer of Russian crude to the most important market for Moscow oil alongside China. India refiners not complying with the G7 price cap and looking for a cheap opportunistic purchase have snapped up many of the Russian Urals cargoes, which used to go to Northwest Europe before the EU embargo. Reports record imports of cheap Russian crude oil into India have undermined OPEC's share of supply so much that OPEC's share of all Indian oil imports has hit the lowest it has in 32 years. The embargo didn't do much to stop Russia taking care of itself, did it, Melody?
Not at all.
So I'll share this and get a good news story in a second. Mexican TV spots cartel welding anti-tank rocket launcher in border town near Texas. The Mexican government has been waging war against drug cartels for over a decade with limited success. These cartels illegally procure modern military equipment from Western countries, making the fight comparable to those in the Middle East war zones. On Wednesday, Mexican TV channel Milenio published an article called Mexican Cartels Prepare for War. They have a military-grade rocket launcher that shows a video of a Gulf cartel, a member carrying a military-grade grenade launcher, during a checkpoint in Matamoros, Tamaulipas. I can't even say that. Millennials Azunda Urizi identified the rocket launcher as a Raytheon-made FGM-148 Javelin. She noted the rocket launcher in the back on the black market fetches anywhere from $20,000 to $6,000. After further review, the rocket launcher might be an AT-4, a Swedish-made disposable anti-tank launcher, which was also sent to Ukraine with javelins. Nevertheless, these military-grade weapons are returning up Mexico border towns during the worst U.S. southern border crisis in history. But don't worry, because the Biden administration repeatedly states everything is fine on the border. What do you think, Mel?
Well, I don't know. It's just, what can I say? I know this is a radio show and I'm supposed to say a lot, but it's Friday. I mean, it's just another day in the neighborhood. It just goes on and on and
yeah, on. This closing good story by this just happened, folks, about a week ago. The incredible moment 69-year-old stops a bank robbery with words and a hug. When the struggling California attempt to alleviate his financial crisis stressed by robbing a bank, Michael Armas Sr. recognized it was out of sadness and not malice. Stepping in with words and eventually a hug, 69-year-old Michael defused a situation, potentially explosive situation, as a bank robber claimed he was carrying a bomb. Everything seemed a normal day for Armas, who walked into the Bank of the West in Woodland, California, when he noticed a former neighbor of his speaking to the teller with irritation and depression in his voice. Unbeknownst to Armas, a neighbor, Eduardo Placencia, had passed a note to the teller claiming he was armed with explosives and abandoned money to avoid detonation. However, the fact that Placencia's shirt was pulled over his nose and mouth mixed with the teller's frightened expression and quickly alerted Armas to the fact that all was not well. So I just approached him and asked him, I said, "What's wrong? You don't have a job." Armas told Good Morning America, he said, "There's nothing in this town for me. Nothing in the town for me. I just want to go to prison." So I took him outside, and I gave him a hug right here at the door, said Armas. He started crying. The police arrived at the moment to take Pacinia's place into custody for attempted robbery, later stating that he was not, in fact, armed at all. Wow. That was an act of courage for sure, Melody.
It absolutely was.
I mean, I know for a fact the Bible says a soft word turneth away wrath. If someone is upset and angry, try to be sweet with them if you can. And if you're attacking, you've got to defend yourself. But I'm talking about in a case like this. If you hold out a helping hand and say, "Hey, I'm here, do you want to talk about this?" Maybe it'll quiet them down. I've seen it happen before. I've seen it happen in my life. I talk somebody out of anger and tell them, "Hey, we're not against you here. We actually love you. What can we do to help you?" And 85% of them will respond either by crying or starting to cool off and share their thoughts. Folks, kindness and love is never out of place. Again, I say you don't put up somebody attacking you or your family physically. You don't do that. But if at all possible, approach those people with love and kindness in your heart. And in this case, you give them a hug. Yeah, the guy's arrested. But at least he wasn't arrested for killing somebody, harming somebody, or getting shot in the process. This Mr. Armas done a great job. Melody?
Yes.
You want anything to that and take
it
down a few seconds?
Seconds? You got a whole minute leaving me there, Butch.
A whole minute. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can't talk for a minute.
I can't imagine you stopping on Friday and not having anything to say.
Well, there's a lot more I can
like
say,
you.
But I just feel kind of bad not giving me a chance to talk, Kenny.
Oh, is that it?
Yes.
Can't imagine that. A man letting a woman talk because you feel bad because I haven't said anything? I don't know.
A man letting a woman talk. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, folks, we are just about out of time, and I do hope you all be safe this weekend. There's a lot of things going on, and if you have any questions, please give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. So until Monday, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.